The Lord laid it on my heart as we conclude this conference to speak to you on something that is very, very crucial that we all need. God has designed life in such a way that even though we are free beings, we were not created to be independent. We all need people. The last time God physically came down from heaven was at Calvary. He now uses people. If you're going to be free, if limitations will be removed from your life, it will take people. God will need to use people. That's why you must learn to treat people well. Because a Joseph can go to bed tonight as a slave and wake up as a prime minister. Can you imagine for a few minutes how Mrs. Potiphar felt the day Joseph became the prime minister? Can you just imagine it for a few minutes? Treat people well. Because you don't know God's plan and God's program for their life. And like the apostle was saying, you don't know what God has deposited in that person. You don't even know whether you will need that person tomorrow. Treat people with dignity. Treat them with graciousness. Treat people with respect. Put value, place value on people. Whether they are young, whether they are old, whether they are elderly, no matter what. When you meet people and you live their life, let them remember kind words. Let them remember your impact. My foundational scripture tonight is in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 21. I want to read verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. 2 Samuel 21, 15 to 18. By the way, can I just say that by God's grace, I have written and published 88 books. And my books are on Amazon. I'm also glad to let you know that about 3 months ago, God helped my husband and I to dedicate and commission an hospital back home in Africa. It's not a children's hospital. God took it from our hands. It's a big general hospital, 21st century compliance hospital. We give him all the glory. As at 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, we've had 107 patients. And just today, we performed the first surgery. And it was successful. I'm grateful to the Lord. I told God several years ago, when my days on earth are over, I don't want to leave planet earth as a woman. I don't want to die as a woman. I want to die as an institution. That after I'm gone, they will still be doing research about my life. I love the message the bishop brought tonight. I give glory to God. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistine, and David waxed faint. Verse 16. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being guarded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. This is one of my most profound passages in the Bible. I love the scripture. Two major reasons. One is this, the other one talks about Rizpah. And here we see one of the legends that ever lived. I try my best to go to Israel almost every year or every other year. And one of my favorite places of attraction is where David was buried. Oh my God. You will know a king is sleeping here. If there's anybody you need to listen to or read about, it's King David. Fantastic man. The Bible says that he was a man after God's heart. That's what I want to be. And we read about an encounter that David had from this passage. The Bible says there was war again. The Philistines had war again with the Israelites. And is it not amazing that life can be a battlefield, and sometimes it can be very bloody? The book of Revelation chapter 12 tells us that there was war in heaven. If there was war in heaven, then why do you always complain that you face war? Why do you complain that you have challenges? If God had war in heaven, instigated by the devil that was cast down. Hello, pastors. Hello, business people. Hello, fellow believers. Hello, everybody. Some people hate your God, and therefore they must discredit you so that others can listen to them. It happened in heaven. It got so bad, one third of the angels left God. The Bible does not tell us what the devil told them, but he told them something. And what the devil told them affected them so badly, they left God. So why are you angry when people leave your church? What? How come that you met the person somewhere at the bus station or the train station and you don't want to greet the person again because he left your church? They left God's church. One third of his congregation left because somebody said. There is no way people will believe critics until they speak. And they must speak to discredit you. But hear me, beloved, God is the image builder. And it is what God keeps that is kept. There was war in heaven. And now we see that there was war again. What was the purpose of the war? To limit God. And to limit David. To limit him. And the Bible tells us some interesting thing here. The Bible says that David waxed thin. Can I tell you this tonight, please? Armed robbers don't attack empty vaults. Each time you are attacked, it is a sign that you are loaded. Against it, except you don't want to matter. I told you yesterday, once you are at the top, get ready to be the topic. Once people stop talking about you, you have become irrelevant, and the price is worth it. Wrestling is my favorite game, but I watch football, and I noticed that when football is being played, there were some people that are marked. Now listen, beloved. If while I'm trying to score a goal, somebody looks at me and says, look at you, look at your K leg. And I say, you, I'm coming to do, just let me go and score. What will happen? The ball will have gone. Or somebody says, oh, well done, well done. I say, oh, give me a high five. Let me go and score. I'm coming back. The ball will have gone.
Stop listening to criticism and compliments. They are distractions. Chew them like chewing gum and throw them away. Faithful. So that your mate can be scarce. Once you go and score, see them marking me. You know why they are marking me? It's because I am a striker. So the next time people try to discredit you, it's because you are a striker. Stop feeling bad. Stop bothering yourself, and then you can't sleep and you have high blood pressure. Let them continue to mock you. Just keep on scoring the goal. Reply them with more success. Write another book. Compose another song. Start another channel. Do something. Backbiters are at the back. Give them more dust to eat. Nobody attacks an empty vault. Once you attack, it's a sign that you are loaded. So the Bible tells me that David waxed faint. Which David? David had killed many giants before now. David had fought many battles before now. David, with just a sling and a stone. I preached a message some time ago titled, "The Giant David Could Not Kill." All of us have one. The most anointed of us has a giant that he or she cannot kill. And there's nothing you can do about it. As long as you still belong to humanity, there is a giant that you cannot kill. This same David that had conquered many lands. This same David that had helped many people. But now, the helper needed help. The healer needed healing. The conqueror. The provider needed provision. The succorer needed succor. We all need somebody to lean on. I was telling my precious daughter to sing that song for me today while I was cooking that message in my spirit. And she was singing it. It ministered to me. Some of you, you are born again, you are tongue talking, you are so heaven bound. You have become irrelevant to planet Earth. You are a 12 o'clock Christian. Both the long hand and the short hand points to heaven. We are going to heaven, 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 heaven. Greet God when you get there. Some of you are so Earth conscious, you have become useless to God's kingdom. You are 6:30 Christians. Everything is planet Earth. What will I eat? What will I wear? What will I do? That person didn't greet me very well. This one. You are so earth and earthly conscious. You've forgotten about heaven. You've forgotten that the rapture can come anytime. And in heaven we don't settle quarrels. I will never greet you again. See the way you did. If you miss the rapture, some of us must not miss the rapture. The devil will first lie and say, "What? You can't afford to miss it." No, you can't. You must be a 6 o'clock Christian. The longer hand points to heaven, the shorter hand points down. Be heaven conscious, but be earth relevant. That's how we should live. Hallelujah. Bible makes us to understand that David waxed faint. How many of us here tonight were waxing faint? It's a reality. Sometimes as a minister of the gospel, or as a business person, or as a father, or a mother, or a husband, or wife, you suffer from what is called giver's burnout. It's a giver's syndrome. Because you appear strong, you give. People come to your house. I remember in the 90s and early 2000s, you would think her house was the extension of the church. As this person is coming, that one is going. And I'll just be looking at this woman. What kind of a person is this? I thought it's only in Nigeria that we do that kind of a thing. But even here, very accommodating. Because you're so strong, people find solace in you. People come, you sing in the choir, you're a pastor's wife, or you're a pastor, you're in business, you give. People sometimes forget that you are human. And even you sometimes, you forget. So once in a while, you become so overwhelmed. You are a bleeding shepherd. You have your pains, but you must continue to minister. You cry in the bathroom. You wipe your face. And then you say, come, can you open to the book of Habakkuk? Though the fig may not blossom. And you stay preaching. And people are getting healed. And they are getting blessed. And after the preaching, you go back to your house. And say, Father, are you still there? Let nobody be deceived by the suits. And the dresses and the big cars. The Mercedes Benz cars. And the Rolls Royce. The rich are also crying. We all go through it. As a man, you're thinking, how will I cope? My wife is going to ask me for this. And you know, every woman is wired to look up. So you're wondering, I don't even have an answer. Lord, what am I going to do? As a pastor, you're thinking, you have your own challenges and you must still minister to people. As a wife, you just look at yourself. I have tried to please my mother-in-law. I've tried to please my husband. I've tried to do this and that. And Lord, it appears as if I'm not appreciated. It is the giver's syndrome. And David was faint. Every time you're discouraged, every time you wax faint, it's not wrong. It's normal. It's normal. Don't feel guilty about it. If you feel like crying, go ahead and cry. But please, ask for help before you go into a coma. Some of you have been so bruised, so disappointed, you have become disillusioned. You don't even trust nobody, not even your shadow. People have betrayed you. People have jilted you. Including people you so revere. Your heart has been broken and torn into shreds. And so you close your eyes. You want bad people to pass. Open it, sweetheart, because good people may also be passing. There may not be many, but we still have good people on planet Earth. We still have them. Some of you are even children. You try to please your mom. But she keeps shouting and shouting and shouting. I understand. I have four like you. When these kids were growing up, I'll be calling them great. My husband one day said, I think we need to get the intercom working. I understood what he was saying. Then one day he said to me, I'm sure everybody in this neighborhood knows our children's names. It's the way you talk to a woman and she gets the message. Your wife just finished cooking for you and there's too much salt. You don't say, what's this? No. All you need to say is, when I was climbing the stairs, I noticed the bag of salt. I guess it's just been opened. She gets the message. But David waxed thin. Oh, many husbands, many wives, many parents, many children, many friends, many pastors, many ministers, many business people, many career persons, many of us. We're waxing. It's not wrong to feel weak. It's not wrong to feel down. It's human. It's the giver syndrome. But it is not safe to be alone. You must learn to surround yourself with good people. Listen to their tapes. Read their books. Some of them you may never meet. Watch them. Don't watch anyone that you don't want to look like on the internet. Because you look like what you look at. Invest into your life. Do not waste your data. Do not waste your airtime. Do not waste your time being glued to people you don't want to look like. Surround yourself with good people. As when Mary got pregnant, she went straight to Elizabeth's house. When you're pregnant with a vision, locate someone that understands morning sickness. Locate someone that is not competitively jealous. Locate someone that will not try to abort your vision. Locate someone that understands what it means to carry pregnancy, destiny, and to help you find your own. Some people eat up other people's destinies. Avoid them. The Bible says that while David wanted faith, one man showed up and was going to bring limitation to David's life. And his name is Ish-bi-benob. We're still in 2 Samuel 21. Ish-bi-benob. And in case you don't know, there are so many Ish-bi-benobs in this world. It's sad to say that some of them are in church. Sad to say that some of them operate even from the altar. It's sad, it's tragic, but it's the truth. It's the reality. Some of them just can't stand the fact that God's hand is upon your life. They do not understand that you are also as surprised as they are at what God is doing. They do not understand that you go on your knees. Sometimes you lie on the floor in tears. Father, how did I get here? This can't be about me. I don't know how to fast so much. I don't know how to pray. Lord, this is you. They do not know. And they just envy you. They want to do anything to bring you down. Ish-bi-benobs. They are everywhere. But the Bible says, Ish-bi-benob wanted to strike when David waxed faint. When David was strong, he did not strike. It was when David, the father of the house, when he began to have financial challenges, when he couldn't pray the way he should, when mommy was becoming weak, when the situation looked as if nothing good will come out, he was looking for an opportunity. That's why it's important for you to pray for your leaders habitually. It's a seed. When we talk about seed sowing, it's not just money. It's not just money. You sow kindness, you reap it. You sow graciousness, you reap it. You sow hatred, you reap it. And one thing about life is, it's not what you sow that you just reap. You reap it in multiple fold. You must learn to pray for your leader habitually. Those of you that are very close to authorities, you are the most vulnerable. You see it when your leader and his wife have a misunderstanding. You see when the humanity of your leader comes out, shows up. He's not in church. He's not behaving. You see him when he gets angry, when he throws temper tantrums. You see everything about him and you can still honor him. You are a true Amobiara. and you don't expose him. You don't, you understand, he's been bent on. You don't limit him. You don't seize the opportunity to finish him. That was what that man said about Saul. He said, he told me to kill him, even though he was there. He said, and I did so because I thought, having fallen, he wouldn't have been able to rise again. Ishbi Benob. While Ishbi Benob was trying to fulfill his ministry, the Bible brings out another character who said, no, you can't be limited. And his name is Abishai. It is a calling to be an Abishai. It's a calling.
Yes.
As I stand before you tonight, I am living for 15 major reasons. I've put them down in black and white. Some have A, B, C, D. But hear me, beloved. Before I even understood what it means to be a preacher and all that, I knew it in my heart that I am called to my husband. It's a calling to be his wife. Is a calling. So one day I said to the Lord, if this man fails, Lord, hold me responsible. It's a calling. If you see your marriage as a calling, you will put in more than this. If you see that child in your hand as a calling, an assignment, you will prophesy him or her into destiny and stand anymore. Some of you are called to your man of God. You're called. You see no wrong in him. Instead of seeing his nakedness, you walk away, give him a distance, some distance, so you can make up and cover up. And then you come back to massage him and say, sir, it doesn't matter. We're in this together. Secretaries, PAs, executive assistants, associate pastors, deputies in businesses. Oh, that we will have many more Abishais that will succor their David. Because if that man goes down, you go together. That will succor. We all have Ishbi Benobs, but we all must pray to have Abishai. And this is the call of the word God laid on my heart tonight. If you will no more experience limitations, you need these seven kinds of helpers. Number one, daily helpers. So you need to take note of this, maybe put it on your phone or write it down or whatever. But you need daily helpers. In the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse number 9. Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs, according to the appointment of the priests which are Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. We need daily help. We all do. So you need daily helpers. I'm running. Number two, you need timely helpers. If not, you will just continue to go in that same circle of limitation. One day the Lord said to me, there is no strong man anywhere, only helped people. And it's true. Everybody that, you know, the apostle was saying it. If you have a business and you are the only employee, then it's not a business. We all need help. Look at your fingers, look at your hands, for instance. This thumb, God forbid, if it is cut off, try to hold something without it. Each one, it's important. You need timely helpers. Imagine if the Red Sea did not part. Helpers that will show up right on time. Right on time. Quarter to shame. And they are there. May God send them your way. Imagine if Abishai did not show up right at that time. What would have happened? David would have died an ignoble death. Oh! David, with all the accomplishments, You will have ended like that. I've been in situations like that. And I look back in tears and I say, God, what would I have done if you hadn't sent that help? Timely help. Not help that comes later. Medicine after death. Shame had already come. The bill couldn't be paid. May God send you timely help. Amen. It's good for you to learn to say amen in church, because amen is not an encouragement to the preacher. Amen is the acceptance of a divine verdict. Amen. May God send you daily helpers.
Amen.
May God send you timely helpers.
Amen.
Number three, tireless helpers. Some people help you and then they give up on the way. Are you the only one? Imagine that man in Acts chapter number 3. Maybe the day he got his healing, his cousin or his nephew or his neighbor that used to drop him. The Bible says he was brought daily to the temple. He was brought daily. His life was dependent on that person. Maybe that day, while the man was being brought in the morning, his helper said to him, look, I can't continue to do this. Maybe when he was even going to drop him, he made him to hit the guy. Why are you shouting? I've been carrying you for 3 years. Oh my God. Maybe he was in pain that day when Peter and James came. Okay. There are people that are sent to you and they are tireless. You wonder, what's going on? Won't you give up? They say, no, sir. It's fine, sir. It's okay, sir. It's not convenient for them. They say, it's fine. Some wives are sent like that. They don't care whether nobody knows them or nobody sees them. They don't care who gets the credit. They just want your ministry to succeed. They just want your business to succeed. They just want to be there. Some husbands are sent like that. Almost 30 years ago, when God called us into ministry, I didn't know my husband would ever be a pastor. But one day my husband said to me, if you didn't marry me, you would still have had your destiny to fulfill. Therefore, I have decided not to be the typical African husband. As to help me, I'm also going to help you. Please, darling, don't die under my shadow. My husband said that to me almost 30 years ago. And he keeps fanning me. He would tell me, I'm your number one fan, you know. You're doing good, baby girl. I said, darling, see what somebody said. I said, stop listening to them. Look at Christ and look at me. I believe in you, girl. Even if you are wrong, your cane is not in their hands. Move on, move on, move on. May God send you such helpers. Somebody looked at me one day. Very top person. He said, I have a feeling I am called to you. And what that person has done in my life. Sometimes until you hear people's stories, you think they are strong. When people introduce me, the mighty woman of God. The secret of champions is in their stories. I am just one village girl helped by God. That's why when you fight such people, you don't know you are fighting grace. Because it's not about them. It's beyond them. It's beyond them. Tireless helpers. They don't care what people say about them. You are pastor's dog. They do not care. Are you the only one in this church? See how they are using you. He says, I am privileged. God can even go to the mosque, convert somebody and use the person. So it's a privilege for me to be used. He said, don't you see the way pastor is using you? May he continue to use you. Because that is where your blessing lies. Tireless. If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16, that's the scripture for that. Helpers of joy. Number four, compulsory and compelling helpers. Something just compels them. They keep giving to you. They keep helping you. Oh, is that 1 Chronicles 12, 16? Number 5. I'll soon be done. Did I miss out? Did you miss anything? Okay. Number 5. Okay. Number 1, daily helper.
Number two, timely helpers. Number three, tireless. Number four, compulsory and compelling helpers. I feel something is chasing them. Go and help him. Go and help him. Go and help him. Number five, strong helpers. It's possible for somebody to want to help you, but if the person does not have what it takes, the two of you just be looking at yourselves. Strong helpers. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you look at verse 1. These are they that came to David to Ziklag. You need to see them. The Bible says in verse 2, they were armed with bows. They could use both the right hand and the left. Even David couldn't use both the right and the left. In hauling stones and shooting arrows. Even from Saul's brethren, the Benjamites, they came. From unlikely places, they came to help David. May God send you strong helpers. You don't need too many. Just one Bill Gates is enough. Kenneth Hagin Senior said one person died in his church one day. He sat beside the corpse. God, this one cannot go. See what he has done. He said God sent the person back. We have another person died. I said, go to heaven sharp, sharp. Trouble out of Israel. There are people that you don't want anything to happen to them. They are a blessing. Strong helpers. They don't have strength, you don't have power, but they do. And they believe in you, they stand by you. May God send such people to you. There are people, there's nobody that loves limitation. There's nobody. All of us want to move. But some of us are just helpless. You really want. This is it. I'm going to lead you to pray. Please, when it's time to pray, pray. I believe in prayers. Pray. You will bring this note before the Lord. Father, you mentioned, I prayed these things into my life before I came. At the hotel, I was mentioning one by one. Father, I want this. I want tireless helpers. I want timely helpers. I want daily helpers. I don't want, because some preachers are just signboards. They just point people. They don't go there. They don't experience. Every preacher is a cook. If you don't eat out of feet, you will be lean. I don't want God to do through me what he will not do for me. I don't want ministry to be a career. Number six, unsolicited helpers. You didn't beg for them. You know, there are some people, when they help you, you must continue to worship on their altars. In my culture, this is how they want you to do. When you meet them, thank you so much. Then the next day you come, thank you for yesterday. Then 2 days after you come, thank you for 3 days ago. Then you come back, thank you for last week. In my culture, if you don't thank them, they will tell you the story of how your grandmother met your grandfather. They say, you are such an ingrate, if not for me. I don't want such helpers around you. I don't want them. People that use it against you. The book of James tells us, God gives liberally and he doesn't upbraid. I thank God for you. I know God has used you, but please, I want to worship you. But the Bible says, I shall have no other God before him. Don't worship anybody. Give the glory to God. Be grateful. But please, don't make an idol out of your worship. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 4, 1 Samuel 18, 4, the Bible says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments. Even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Amazing. There are still good friends. Look at that. David didn't beg for it. He had even forgotten about himself, about his own safety and security. He removed his bow, he removed his robe, he removed his garment, he removed his sword, he removed his girdle, and gave to David, unsolicited for.
There are people that want to help you, but you must beg. Some of them will tell you, you must sleep with them. Some of them will tell you, you want me to mentor you, go and write application letter. And add your CV. And you must put an offering. Burnt offering and raw offering. So I can be in your life. I've heard of people that if you want to talk to them, you must kneel down. Are you God? I hate that. Honor people, respect them, but please, I must not kneel down while you are talking to a fellow human being. And the person will not tell you to stand up. So, and then, I'm just saying, yes, go ahead. Bad, too bad. May God send you unsolicited helpers. This simple message I'm preaching to you tonight may be what will build you out forever. Some of you are trusting God for who to marry. Maybe this is why God sent me here. A man that will accept you the way you are. He said, but I had a baby when I was in college. It doesn't matter. The man says, I will marry you and the child. And I will not use it against you. You won't believe the way. What? This God? I know of a great woman. I don't even want to give too many details. She has 3 kids, 2 girls and 1 boy. And the man married her. She's a black American. The man even said, I don't want a child. These 3, they're enough. Very unusual helpers. And she's doing exploits. So don't think, don't conclude. It doesn't matter who has concluded over your matter. Here's the next statement I'm about to make. If their last name is not G-O-D, they don't have the financing. The last one, consistent helpers. Some of you have epileptic breakthroughs. Last year we had breaking barriers. Between last year and now, even though you succeeded, but the limitations are there again. That's what I call epileptic breakthrough. If you say you are a millionaire, for instance, and you have just 1 million, once you remove 1%, you are alone. So, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about consistency. You look at your life, you know God has truly blessed you. It's not that you've taken 5 steps forward and then 17 steps backward. Today is limitation, tomorrow is... No. All round. Consistency. You look at your life in the last 365 days, you say, wow. And look at the scripture for that. It was God that said that. In Genesis 28 and verse 15, God was speaking to Jacob. Genesis 28 verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That was a message I preached sometimes ago in our church, titled, The Until You Succeed Mercy of God. I am committed. Until! That's the word I need in that scripture. Until! Until your joy is full. Until I look into your land and I see that, yes, just tiny, tiny things, you're good to go. Until. Consistent. When you have this in your life, truly we can see no more limitations. You have discovered your purpose. You have the experience, the access, and then God now places in your life what your hand cannot handle. Things that left to you, you can finish. God sends people your way, either as mentors or as proteges or as friends or as colleagues, but they're in your life to help you. This is the one God laid on my heart tonight. And I want to just carry your phone or carry your whatever. I have 7 more minutes, but I want to spend just 3 minutes to lead you to pray. Please, if you have ever prayed in your life, pray this. This is not the time to be an usher. This is not the time to go out. Destinies are being determined now. I want you to ask the Lord to send this your way. This prayer will show in few months to come. Between now and next year, it will show. Can you bow your head or you want to stand up or whatever? But if you are okay with where you are, fine. You don't even need to pray so that God will hear our own prayers. But if you think you need to move to another level, I want you to pray and tell the Lord, Father, I thank you for all that you have done. But Lord, I ask you, God, that you will send me these seven kinds of helpers. Daily helpers. Jehovah. Daily helpers. The Bible says that we should redeem the time for all the days are evil. Ah, God, I don't want evil. I subtract evil from every day of my life. Daily help us, Lord. Timely help us. Timely so that I will not know shame. I cry unto the God of the Bible, the covenant-keeping God. Timely help us for me, for my husband, for my children, for my grandchildren. On time, on time, on time, on time. Not help that will come after shame has come, Lord. If you're a Christian and you don't know how to pray, you can be a prey in the devil's hand. Pray, 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 pray. Tireless helpers. Helpers that will be in my life and they won't be tired. Ah, they will never be angry with me, God. They won't give up. Tireless helpers, Jehovah. Compulsion and compelling helpers. Helpers that will be compelled by heaven. Compelled by heaven. Like you did for Joseph. When Mary was going to be put to shame, you woke him or you spoke to him in the dream. Speak to my helpers, oh God, while they are sleeping. Compel them to help from Catholics, Adejuma, and everything that has a signature. I know you hear prayers, oh God, please hear this one. As we conclude this conference, oh God, let this be the crown. Let this be the crown, God, as this year runs up and as I move into the new year, oh God, send me compulsory helper. Compel people to bless me. Bless my husband, bless my children, bless my grandchildren. Send me strong helpers. I don't want people that are weaker than I am. There will be liabilities. Send me helpers that are strong. Helpers that have what it takes. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, help me unsolicited helper. Let me not be a beggar because of this. Let me not be a beggar because I need help. Let me not be a beggar because I need help. Let me not be a beggar, let you over. Help me. And Lord, send me consistent helpers in the name of Jesus. Thank you because I know you have heard me. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In case you are here tonight, you are not yet born again, I break and destroy the power of sin in your life in the name of Jesus. In case you have any form of sickness in your life and that's why you are limited, today I travel to the root of the problem and I set you free in the name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, I decree that you are made whole. Every prayer you have prayed tonight, every help, every form of help you have asked the Lord to give unto you, may He do so and do more. According to Ephesians 3:20, in the name of Jesus. No more limitations. No more limitations. Go and prosper. Go and eat the fruit of the land. You are blessed. In the name of God the Father, I decree ministries begin to receive help. Marriages, health, finances begin to receive help. We are blessed. In the name of God the Son and in the name of God the Holy Spirit.